We will continue to that approach, and according to its position that only Section 1 and 2 of the draft bill should be created at this time, and there's a short statement, and I'll be available for questions later as you've asked.
Mr. Sheldon, thank you very much for coming from California to give us your views.
Our pleasure.
What I would like to do now is to call the additional witnesses to the table, and Chairman Hogan and Chairman Shelton, if you would remain available, then I would have you come back, and we will have questions for all of the witnesses. The next panel will be the Honorable Myra Pearson, the chairman of the Great Plains Indian Gaming Association, the chair of the Spirit Lake Tribe in Fort Tonto, North Dakota, accompanied by Kurt Luger, executive director of the Great Plains Indian Gaming Association, Bismarck, North Dakota, the Honorable W. Ron Allen, Chairman, Washington Indian Gaming Association, Chairman of the Jamestown Kalam Tribe in the state of Washington, and the Honorable Valerie Welsh Tabo, Council Member of the Colorado River Indian Tribal Council at Parker, Arizona. I appreciate very much all of you being here. I did mention that Tracy Burris, who is the commissioner of the Chickasaw Nation Gaming Commission in Norman, Oklahoma, had an airplane problem this morning and is not able to be here for this testimony. We've been joined by our colleague from Hawaii, the former chairman of this committee for many, many years, Senator Inouye. Senator Inouye, would you like to make any comments? I think everyone in the room understands the contribution Senator Inouye has made over so many decades on this committee, and we appreciate very much your being here, Senator. Why don't we begin? We'll begin with you, Myra Pearson, who is the chairman of the Great Plains Indian Gaming Association. Welcome, and why don't you proceed? We would ask what we have asked of the previous panel, if you would be willing to summarize in about 5 minutes. We have all had the opportunity to read the entire statement, and all of the entire statement will be part of the permanent record.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Dorgan, Vice Chairwoman Mikulski, and members of the committee. Can you hear me okay there?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Myra Pearson, and I'm chairwoman for the Spirit Lake Tribe in North Dakota, and I'm also the chairperson for the Great Plains Indian Gaming Association, which includes 28 Indian nations from North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, and Kansas. Accompanying me this morning is Kurt Luger, Executive Director of the Great Plains Indian Gaming Association and a member of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, who has a family home on the Standing Rock Indian Reservation in North Dakota. Before I begin my comments, I'd like to take a few seconds to recognize the troops and their families in the war who are currently fighting for our freedom, and I want to express my gratitude. And that comes from Indian Country, Senator. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
This morning I'm here to comment on the discussion draft of a bill to amend EGRA. Before I comment on the draft, I'd first like to talk about Indian gaming and what it is doing for the citizens of North Dakota. There is no question that Indian gaming has had a significant and positive impact on all the citizens of North Dakota. Tribal governments have created 2,400 direct jobs through Indian gaming. These jobs help families on reservations that face greater than 80% unemployment rates. While the majority of these jobs go to tribal citizens, many help employ non-Indians living near the reservations. Tribal government payrolls contribute $121 million annually to the North Dakota economy. Tribal government gaming operations purchased over $40 million in goods and services in North Dakota. Without these sales, the state of North Dakota would lose $70 million of economic activity each year. The total economic impact of Indian gaming in the state since 1997 exceeds $1.2 billion. These are only some of the reasons why the tribes in North Dakota and throughout the Great Plains are opposed to amending the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. Now, I understand that the primary purpose of this hearing is to address concerns with the regulation of Indian gaming in light of the recent Colorado River Indian Tribes decision. Mr. Chairman, I want you to know that Indian tribes in North Dakota and throughout the nation are fully committed to strong regulation. Our tribal leaders understand that we need solid regulation to protect the government revenue that Indian gaming provides. As you know, we run relatively modest operations. However, in 2006 alone, tribal government spent $7.4 million on tribal and state regulation and employed more than 325 tribal regulators and staff. Our tribal regulators work hand in hand with State Attorney General's office to address Class 3 gaming regulatory issues. Our compacts provide for a strong partnership between the tribes and the state. Our tribe expressly adopted minimum internal control standards through our tribal state compacts, which incorporate the NIGC mix by reference. The tribes in North Dakota have worked very hard to preserve the relationship with the state, and the state, for its part, has worked in good faith with the tribes. As you will see in our submitted testimony, Attorney General Stengem has complimented the tribal governments on our record of strong regulation and has cooperated with the tribal regulatory agencies to apprehend and prosecute those who attempt to cheat our casinos. From our point of view, we don't see a need to amend IGRA. Nothing changed after the CRIT decision with regards to regulating Indian gaming in North Dakota. Regulation of Indian gaming remains as strong as ever, not only in North Dakota, but throughout the Great Plains region. We believe that the Act is working as intended. However, when we heard that the committee was considering amending IGRA to address the CRIT decision, we put it to a vote of our 28 member tribes. The Great Plains Indian Gaming Association met in May of this year. The association passed a resolution opposing any amendments to IGRA. We think that any NIGC issues can be addressed through model tribal ordinance provisions under existing law. If this committee moves forward, we will oppose any legislation unless several conditions are met. Congress should respect the existing framework of IGRA, tribal state compacts, and tribal ordinances established in regulatory rules for Class 3 gaming, not federal regulation. NIGC oversees tribal enforcement of tribal ordinances, so any substantive standards should be included in tribal ordinances. Congress must guarantee protection of the integrity of IGRA and commit to moving legislation through regular order. IGRA amendments must include provisions to address the Seminole decision. We also request a provision to affirm Class 2 technological aids, and Congress should require NIGC to work with tribes on a basis of government-to-government relations and use negotiated rulemaking. Finally, any amendments should grandfather existing tribal state compacts. While we appreciate that the committee has offered the bill as a draft, in our view, the bill does not promote strong tribal government, as IGRA does, because it relies on federal rulemaking and ignores tribal lawmaking. The existing tribal ordinance process should be respected. NIGC approves our tribal ordinances process as consistent with minimum federal statutory standards and retains authority to enforce against any violations of IGRA, proper NIGC regulations, and tribal ordinances. Furthermore, the provision to address the Seminole case falls far short of what's needed to restore the balance to the compacting process. The discussion draft bill overturns the existing tribal state compact process by giving NIGC blanket unchecked authority over all aspects of Class 3 gaming. This unchecked authority will endanger the future of Indian gaming under NIGC leadership that doesn't honor the existing tribal state compact process and tribal ordinance process. My second point in opposition to the draft is that It will feed the federal bureaucracy at the expense of local tribe and state decision-making. The bill would create a new compact committee within the Department of Interior and grant the NIGC authority to approve regulatory provisions in tribal-state compacts. This will further complicate the already burdensome compacting process, and it permits the NIGC to judge the reach of its own jurisdiction. Under the provisions of the bill, NIGC would never cede authority to state regulators and tribal gaming commissions. It would keep its new federal authority across the board. No other form of gaming in North Dakota is subject to federal agency regulation. Indian gaming is fully regulated. Chairman Hogan testified before the California Assembly that even in light of the CRIT decision, the NIGC has the authority to regulate Class 3 gaming. We ask that the committee help us to look for opportunities short of legislation to address NIGC concerns, and we are willing to work cooperatively on model tribal ordinance provisions that respects the existing statutory framework of IGRA and honors the serious commitment that both states and tribal governments have vested in the tribal state compact process. In other words, please look to address any concerns within the existing framework of IGRA. Congress could simply call upon our tribal governments to maintain mix in our tribal ordinances. Indeed, we can do this on a voluntary government-to-government basis. This would preserve tribal law, making authority, create an objective statutory standard, and ensure that tribal governments are not subjected to the whims of a bureaucracy. We also ask that...
Are you nearly done? You have to ask that you summarize.
Okay. Well, I'm going to jump right down to the bottom. In conclusion, I want to say that Indian gaming is doing well. It's working, and Indian gaming in North Dakota and throughout the Great Plains is beginning to rebuild their economies. And it's doing something great for the Indian people, and we hope that, you know, we can see that continued. And thank you very much for this opportunity, Senator Dorgan.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. Next, we will hear from the Honorable Ron Allen, Chairman of the Washington Indian Gaming Association. Chairman Allen, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's always an honor to come in before this committee to testify on a variety of legislative issues that affect our tribes across the United States. I am the chair of the Jamestown Squam Tribe up in western Washington. I have been for 30 years, and I've been very active in Indian country on many levels. I do want to thank you and Senator Murkowski and Senator Inouye and the others who have been very strong champions for us over the years. Yeah, question of the day here is, you have our testimony, you have some of the issues of concern that is in there that we've identified with our colleagues. But the question of the day is should IGRA be amended? You know, quite frankly, in my opinion, all legislation needs to be amended. There isn't any perfect legislation out there. It never was, never will be. We come to you regularly talking about legislation that needs to be improved. The Health Care Improvement Act, you know of all the different provisions that we've talked about, that act alone. Set aside the Self-Determination Act that we improved with the self-governance legislation. And these pieces of legislation all are about empowering the tribes to exercise our sovereignty, our governmental authority, our jurisdiction as tribal government, so that we continue to do it, so we can control our destiny as you and the senator have said. So with regard to gaming, the jury is already in with regard to its success. It is successful. You know it. You know it all across Indian country. Are there blemishes and are there issues out there? Yes, there are issues out there, and you can say that everywhere. You can say that with regard to the gaming industry in Nevada. You can say it in New Jersey or Louisiana. You can say it everywhere. So gaming, you know, has its challenges like any other industry. Is it being well regulated? The answer to that is yes. I think that it's a credit to our tribal governments, it's a credit to you and the Congress who have empowered the tribes and have elevated our governmental capacity to be able to administer our responsibilities and regulate these affairs. We all care about the integrity of the game and the industry on our reservations, and we all care about it because no one is more beat on by the public or the general perception than Indian country. Nobody's beat up more than we are. And so we have a great interest in this, in the integrity of our game and our right to be able to advance this agenda. Nothing Congress or the state or anyone has ever done has made a difference in our communities like gaming. So we want to protect our rights. But we also want to be treated fairly. And we want to be treated fairly and with respect to our ability to engage in regulatory oversight over the game. We are the primary regulators, and we have done an absolutely fabulous job. Chairman Hogan has pointed out, look at the hundreds of millions of dollars we spend on regulation at all levels. So we are doing our job. The compacts that we are negotiating, not all compacts address this thing, but the majority of the compacts are addressing exactly what IGRA envisioned. IGRA intended that the states would have a role. It was recognizing the sovereignty of the states and their responsibility with regard to their relationship with the tribes as it applies to this industry. And so we envisioned that this relationship, and it envisioned that, it would be addressing those internal controls. My testimony talked about how it is successful out in Washington State, and I know it is successful elsewhere as well. So the bottom line is as we approach legislation, the issue is what should be corrected. Should NIGC be, how much power should it have? We do not want to empower them with a provision that basically says that, that the tribes and the states have to come to this agency and say, Mother, may I? We do not want that kind of legislation because they could go awry. And we have examples where quite frankly, we believe that they have misused their authority. So the issue is, what is their role? And we have to be very careful when we design legislation that amends a regulatory oversight's authority and what that role should be so that it is not unnecessarily burden our industry. And that's just reasonable. I think that with regard to this matter, are we doing the same thing to Nevada? Are we doing the same thing to New Jersey? No, we're not. That isn't, I can tell you that this room would be full. We need a bigger room if they were at the table with the same matter. But the issue here, Senator, is what are we going to do about it? I think that your draft legislation poses some question. I would remind you that the Senator Inouye had proposed a couple amendments in the last session with the same issue that was being raised with regard to the Seminole case, which has to be fixed so the states don't have the right to not in good faith negotiate with the tribe so that they can't exercise this right. So that issue is out there. What are the conditions? You have some number of issues that conditions you have identified in some sections in your proposed bill that need to be thoroughly discussed in terms of how would it really act, how would it really function in the field as the tribes and or the states interface with this agency with respect to the quality and the integrity of these internal controls. So the bottom line here is are we supportive of an amendment to the Act? Yes, but we've got to be very careful. And I'll close with, it's not just being careful about empowerment of NIGC. It's also being careful about all those other mischievous pieces of legislation that want to be attached to put more tentacles around the Indian country to continue to badger us with a historical paternalism that we've been experiencing. We can't go down that road. Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Allen, thank you very much for being with us and your testimony today. Next, we will call on the Honorable Valerie Welsh Tabo. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. Council member of the Colorado River Indian Tribes Tribal Council in Parker, Arizona. You may
proceed. Thank you, Senator. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Thank you for providing the Colorado River Indian Tribes with the opportunity to testify this morning. My name is Valerie Welsh Tabo. I am of the Chiricahua Apache tribe, as well as the Mojave tribe, which is the indigenous nation of the Colorado River Indian Reservation. I am currently the tribal secretary. At the outset, I wish to express our gratitude for your willingness to work with the tribes in exploring a possible amendment of IGRA. We understand that the federal court's decision in our litigation against the National Indian Gaming Commission have rightly or wrongly fed the perception that there is a need for increased federal regulation of Class 3 gaming. Before directly addressing that question, I'd like to very briefly describe that litigation. But before I do that, from time to time, deficiencies are identified. CRIT wants to address comments previously made by Chairman Hogan regarding the length of time taken to address these deficiencies. We want to assure that the committee that each of these deficiencies were addressed as expeditiously and thoroughly as possible. The background of CRIT versus NIGC, as we have repeatedly stressed, CRIT did not seek out its challenge to the NIGC's regulatory authority. Like every other tribe in the country, we question the Commission's statutory authority to mandate Class 3 minimum internal control standards. When the NIGC began an audit of our compliance with its NICS in January of 2001, we attempted to discuss with the audit team the statutory basis for its audit. Tempers flared. The audit team left with its audit unfinished, and the NIGC issued a notice of violation and assessed a $10,000 fine against the tribes. At that point, we had no choice but to defend ourselves. Our defense was simple, a legal position that we shared with most other tribes. The commission did not have the authority under the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act to mandate Class 3 mix. The federal district court agreed with our position, and the Court of Appeals of the District of Columbia Circuit affirmed that decision last fall. As a result of those court decisions, some members of this committee and others have expressed concern that there now exists regulatory void requiring the grant of increased powers of NIGC to regulate Class 3 gaming. Certainly in our case, there's no regulatory void. CRIT's gaming activity is vigorously regulated by both the tribe under tribal law and by the state of Arizona through the mechanisms of the Tribal-State Compact required by IGRA. The draft bill. In considering legislation to address the CRIT decision, it is important to bring the discussion back to the limited subject of what our litigation involved and what the courts actually held. We did not claim that the courts did not hold that the NIGC has no regulatory authority over Class 3 gaming. They held only that the NIGC lacked the authority to impose mandatory minimal internal control standards on Class 3 gaming. Those standards regulate the details of how Class 3 games are conducted for the sole purpose of ensuring that gaming revenues are properly tracked and accounted for. The fix for the CRIT ruling, if needed at all, is quite narrow. Expressly authorize the commission to adopt and require such standards, subject to an opt-out provision for tribes whose tribal law and compacts are sufficiently rigorous. The draft bill we address today goes far beyond that limited need. Indeed, it would authorize the regulatory committee and the NIGC to develop minimum standards for the regulation of Class 3 gaming. This scope of regulation goes far beyond minimum internal control standards and would confer Class 3 regulatory authority that not even the NIGC has previously claimed to sought. The draft bill's grant of authority for the regulation of Class 3 gaming encompasses every aspect of the tribes' Class 3 gaming operation. It would give the NIGC the broad authority to adopt whatever regulation it wished, subject only to a requirement that it be rationally related to the purpose of IGRA. The elephant gun of total regulation is disproportionate to the perceived FLEA, minimum control standards. It would also eliminate, for all practical purpose, the primary regulatory role of the tribes and the compacting role of the states. It's unnecessary, overbreath, the draft bill also incorporates one of the most troubling aspects of Senate 2078 considered by this committee during last session, the mere addition of the words of Class 3 gaming to subsections 2706B1, 2, and 4 effectively guts the tripartite scheme of the statute as originally conceived by giving NIGC equal or preemptively superior regulatory authority of the tribes and the states, and seemingly straightforward amendment would set up the likelihood of inconsistent regulations and render much of the compacting process meaningless. We would propose instead an amendment limited to the issues of minimum and internal controls incorporated through the existing ordinance approval process. We submitted proposed language to the committee last year and would be happy to provide it again. We did also submit as part of our testimony recommendations to the draft bill, and we would like to close on a positive note. We are pleased that the draft bill recognizes that many compacts impose rigorous tribal regulations and state oversight that does not need an additionally expensive layer of federal activity. If the opt-out process contemplated by the draft bill is ultimately adopted, we hope to participate actively in formulating a procedure that fully respects the experience and wisdom developed by the tribes and the states and avoids needless intergovernmental conflict. I thank you again for giving CRET the opportunity to offer its views on the important issue. We look forward to working closely with the committee to develop a bill that satisfactorily addresses the issue of maternal controls without destroying the delicate intergovernmental balance that has largely worked extraordinarily well for nearly 20 years. Thank you, Senator.